Kindelach, now to the story. You remember last week, Sholem Goodman had taken Barry and the other two boys, Frank and Dave, on a mountain climb. While they were climbing up towards the sky, all of a sudden everything turned very, very dark, and they couldn't see the sky. And all of a sudden they heard some noise. "Sounds like thunder to me," said Sholem. A little bit worried. "Ah, that's nothing. You hear those noises constantly when you go mountain climbing," said Barry, the man who was supposed to be of experience amongst them. "It's just the terrific echo that breaks between the high mountain walls." "I don't know. It doesn't look right to me," Sholem said anxiously. But there was nothing to do but to keep on climbing. "We are about halfway up, I figure," said Barry, looking around for some landmark. "You know, I remember there is a large stone with a big bronze tablet, a little more than halfway up Mount Canaan. I guess we should see it soon." From there, the trail becomes easier. They searched and searched, but could not find the stone with the bronze tablet. In fact, somehow they had lost sight of the trail markers and could only guess in which direction to continue the very difficult climb. Meanwhile, it got really dark, and even Barry could not deny that it was real thunder that broke out 100 times with a terrific crash. Sholem and the other boys were usually not afraid of a thunderstorm in the city, but they had never heard such terrifying outbursts followed by huge flashes of lightning which cut through the darkness of the thick forest. "Let us say the blessing over thunder and lightning," Sholem said. He knew it by heart, of course, and he translated the meaning of the words to the other boys, who had never heard of such blessings before. They were quite impressed as Sholem explained to them that the blessing speaks of God's power in the creation, which reveals itself in a thunderstorm. Their fear became a little easier, as the boys felt protected in the hands of the Creator Almighty God, who makes thunder and lightning. But then rain started to pour down in huge and heavy torrents and buckets. The boys had not thought of taking raincoats with them. The weather had looked so beautiful when they had started out. "Let's try to get back to the hut," suggested David, when he found himself almost unable to climb further upward. "It will be easier to go down than to climb up." But as the boys found out quickly, it was no easy task to find the trail and go down. The downpour had turned whatever earth there was on the rocks into mud. They held hands to form a chain, Barry holding on to the trees as the anchorman, and Sholem leading back. A few times they all slid and fell until they decided to give up. "Well, there's nothing to do, kids, but to try to find or make a shelter and wait until the end of the storm," Barry said. "Look, here is a good place to stay," shouted Dave suddenly, as they were looking around for a shelter. Several high boulders, as if placed on top of each other by giant hands, formed a cave, open only on one side. Quickly, they cleared out the leaves, branches, and soil, carried in by the winds that had hit the side of the ledge. "Oh, thank God. For the time being, at least, we are safe and protected from the storm. Who knows how long it will last? I just hope we'll be able to get back home before nightfall. Our parents will be scared to death." Although they tried to keep up their spirits, the four boys were rather worried. "We are only about an hour from the hut and 2 hours from the top of the mountain. And after all, God is always with us to guard us," Sholem tried to assure his companions. And indeed, his talking calmed them down a bit. Encouraged, Sholem continued, "Look, boys, if God wanted us to be here at this time, it must be for a purpose. Let's not be frightened. We are only a short distance from civilization. In the worst case, we will have to wait for daylight." But the prospect of spending the night in the rain-drenched forest, did not exactly appeal to the boys. "Hey, wait a minute. Did you hear anything?" The boys held their breath. They had all heard some unusual sound. A sound weak from the side where the ledge fell down into the deep valley. Help! Help! There it was again. No mistake about it. Someone was even worse off than they, apparently. Again, they listened to make sure from which place the call came. It's right down there. How do we get down? The first thing the boys did was to shout at the top of their lungs, assurances to the apparent victim of some accident. Are you hurt? Yes. Where are you? Can you give us a signal? The man's voice that answered grew even weaker. The call for help seemed to have restored their own strength and spirit. Sholem remembered they had a small flashlight in his lunch bag. This will come in handy. If we only had a long cord to make sure that we don't slide down or lose our way. It turned out that Dave had a strong, heavy lasso with him. He enjoyed playing cowboy, and there was a good chance to put it to use. The chance to help someone else had wiped away their own tiredness, fright, and worry. Slowly and carefully, they moved down in the direction from which the weak calls for help had come. After 15 minutes of very painstaking descent, after going down, they came upon a sudden drop, which they only discovered at the last second with the help of Sholem's flashlight. The call for help now clearly showed that the victim of the accident was down at the bottom of the drop, but their flashlight was too weak to permit them to see anything. Barry volunteered to be tied to the rope and be let down as far as it would reach to see how they could help. It did not take him long when he gave the signal to be pulled up again. Just a few more feet below the end of the line, I saw them lying, a man and a boy. The man signaled me to have the boy pulled up on a stretcher. Apparently, the boy is more seriously hurt. What are we going to do now? Well, one of us should get down there anyway, to be of help to the two people, while the others go for professional help. Maybe we can make a small fire to attract attention, Sholem said. This they did. While Barry let himself down to the two people with the help of the rope, Sholem and the other two tried to get a fire going by digging up dry leaves and branches and putting a match to them. Though it was not much of a fire, the smoke went up high into the air. Apparently, the foresters and wardens were on the lookout. A patrol with a loudspeaker soon came closer to them, asking them to keep the smoke signal up so they could find them. In a few minutes, four well-equipped men came down from the top, and soon afterwards, another patrol came, which had been a routine check of the trail, because they had found that the inscriptions in the guest book of the hut and were worried about the youngsters. It took them only a few minutes to haul up the man and the boy and give them first aid. Looking for a shelter, they had slid down the side of the ledge and fallen down the sudden drop. It was very fortunate that you boys came upon these people just in time. I don't think the boy would have lived if he had to spend the rest of the night on the ledge without medical care, said one of the wardens who administered the first aid. Naturally, the boys were very proud, and they understood what Sholem had said at the moment when their spirit had been lowest, that if they were in such a situation, it must have been for some purpose. Now we understand why God brought us to this spot at a time when our help was important to save a life. The four boys were acclaimed as heroes, and even their families, who had been terribly worried, forgave them and were very proud of their courage and helpfulness. They all appreciated Sholem's leadership and fine spirit. They were also very happy when he got the boys together every day for an hour to teach them and tell them interesting stories about all things Jewish, of which they heard so little. At the end of the 4 weeks, most of the boys were willing to enter a Talmud Torah, and Barry, the one closest to Sholem, expressed a wish to go to a yeshiva. When Sholem was ready to leave, the boys gave him a big send-off. They presented him with a plaque. It was a homemade one, crude and simple, but Sholem cherished it very much, for the inscription read, "To Sholem, Champion Life Saver." And so, Kinderlach, that's the story. And I hope that you will remember the story and remember several things, that Almighty God is everywhere, that wherever you are, there is a reason for being there, and that every time you have an opportunity to help someone, help him. Because when you help someone else, you are automatically helping yourself.